Thank the Lord for the personal part of the wonderful story of the birth of Jesus Christ, that He is our Lord this morning. He's our Savior. He came to redeem us. He came to forgive us from sin, and we thank God for that. I love to tell the story. There's a song that we sing in our book that says, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of Jesus, and it doesn't get old. It's something that's just, it's new, it's refreshing. The reason that Jesus came to earth and the reason why I am here this morning, that's exciting to me. That's something that I don't ever want to get tired of telling that story. I don't want to ever lose the inspiration of the simple story of Jesus Christ. The title of the message that the Lord had inspired me with to share in the service this morning, it's titled, His Love Reaches Me. His Love Reaches Me. And I would like us to begin over in the first chapter of Luke with the 30th verse. Luke 1, verse 30. The angel appeared unto Mary, and the angel said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The name Jesus means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. It means to rescue. So his name shall be called Jesus. His name is called the Rescuer. He's the one that will deliver us. And there is question that those later in life that his disciples had, what is the nature of that deliverance? Did Jesus come to deliver from the Roman government? Did he come to set the Jews free from political bondage? What was the nature of that, that they did not fully understand until the day of Pentecost came? But we'll call his name Jesus. And he was born to a virgin. I still believe that's true. Mary did not know any man. It was an immaculate conception. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and Jesus was born in the flesh. But he was all man, but he was also all God. He was divine, and yet he was human. And you say, how can that be? That is part of the miracle of Jesus Christ. Born to a virgin, he shall be the Son of the Highest, because he is God in the flesh. Who God is, this scripture says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus Christ. And he is part of God. And that is part of the mystery of the little word that has been used. It's not in the Bible, but the concept is that of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are unique, and yet they are one. And Jesus came to this earth to walk as a child, to be born as a baby, to be as a child, to walk as a man, that he would understand what it means to be human, that he would understand our emotions, that he would understand our struggles, that he would understand what it means to be tempted. And yet, because of that, he understood that because of his flesh, but because of his divinity, it equipped him to stand and bridge the gap between us and God as a mediator, one that was able to understand our weakness, and yet through his death and resurrection was able to give us the power to overcome temptation and to overcome sin. And it said that he would reign, he would be given the throne of his father David. And it said to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Do you know there are people this morning that are looking for Jesus to come and set up an earthly kingdom? I wish they would just read the simplicity of what Jesus taught. His disciples were like, Jesus, when is the kingdom going to come? And Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with what? With observation. Or they would say, lo here, lo there. You see it in the news today. When 2000 rolled around, is this when Jesus is going to set up his kingdom? People are looking to Jerusalem, when the Lord is going to come back. And I have to go back and understand that all prophecy from Revelation in Isaiah, in Daniel, it will always align with what Jesus said. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of what? Of this world, else my servants would fight. But he said the kingdom of God is within you. The vision that Daniel had of that stone that was cut out of a mountain without hands, it said in the days of these kings, in the days of the Roman Empire, that's the king when Jesus was born, the Romans were in power. In the days of these kings, the kingdom was established and it has grown and grown and grown, thank God. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. The scripture in Romans says the kingdom of God is not what? Why are people, there's so much false teaching on this subject. Take the simplicity of the scripture. He said the kingdom is not of the world. It doesn't come with observation. It's within you. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Man cannot take that kingdom away from us. There will be politicians and kingdoms will rise and fall, but the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God on this earth has been established. I am not waiting for another day to have the Prince of Peace reigning. I am not waiting for another day when the Lord will be ruler. He today is our judge, thank God. He is our king. He's our Prince of Peace. I don't have to wait for another day. I'm going to be waiting a long time. The next time that Jesus appears in the flesh and shows up, he is going to usher us into the judgment. His kingdom was established when he was here on this earth. And the next time he's coming, it will be as a judge. And that's why he said of his kingdom there would be no end. Thank the Lord. And as the angel told Joseph as well, that Mary would bring forth a son and they would call his name Jesus, for he shall do what? Save his people in their sin? From their sin. Do you realize there are so many people today that are teaching that Jesus came to save his people in their sin? Come back to what the Bible teaches. Jesus as Savior, as deliverer, as rescuer, came to save us from our sin. That I was a sinner. I was in bondage. But Jesus lifted me out and he rescued me and set me free from my sin. Thank God for a Savior today. He did more than save us from the inconvenience of offering an animal sacrifice. His blood reaches us this morning that it transforms our life. That we no longer have to live in sin, but we can be delivered from the very power of it. That's why Jesus came. Thank God for that. Why did he come in its fullness? Why did Jesus choose to leave the splendor of heaven and come and suffer with us? Why did he come and experience rejection and denial and heartache and the crucifixion? What was it that motivated him to come? It was love. Brother Randy referenced that in prayer request, I believe it was. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and I just want to add right there and interrupt in the scripture reading, I am whosoever. Thank God, I am whosoever. Whosoever believeth on him, in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him, that the world through the Savior, that the world through Jesus might be saved. Thank the Lord. Jesus came to rescue us. Anybody here in need of rescuing today? Rescuing from sin, rescued from ourselves, rescued from our attitudes, rescued from the bondage that the enemy has entangled us with. Jesus came, thank God, to rescue us and set us free from that. Thank the Lord. He came to deliver us from the heartache of the world, to be our prince, to be our Emmanuel, to be our help in time of trouble, to be our refuge from the storm, to be our Savior from sin. And this is the reason why over in the book of Luke, and it's such a beautiful passage, but in the second chapter of Luke, in the 10th chapter, when the angel appeared to the shepherds. Remember that? And do you know we have the pictures of the shepherds, and normally it's on a beautiful night, and the stars are shining and twinkling, and it's just this beautiful picturesque, you know, of this image of the sheep, the tranquility, and the calmness. And it looks very attractive in the pictures. I've seen a number of shepherds especially in Africa. It's a little different picture than what I see over here. You know, you can go to get your cards and see those beautiful pictures of shepherds. Every true shepherd I have seen is pretty dirty. It doesn't look real attractive. They're uncomfortable where they're sleeping, the work they're doing. They're having to they're having to lead the shepherds to grass, because there's not just big pasture lands over in some of those countries, and they're having to move with them to find a little bit of grass for them, and they're having to watch for wild animals. Do you realize those are the kinds of people that the angels appear to? And the angel appeared to him and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you." I am so thankful that that message of hope, that message of a Savior, did not stay just for those shepherds there some 2,000 years ago. But that love that God had, it reaches me this morning. His love has reached me, because without His love, I would not be here this morning. Without His love, I would be a very different person. But His love reached me, and that's why Jesus came. Whosoever believes on Him, God demonstrated His love. And I am so thankful His love did not just end with the shepherds in the field that night. His love did not end with those disciples of His time period, but His love reaches down to each and every one of us. If we will believe, we can be recipients of a love that can transform our life, even this morning. The good news is that there was a Savior born, and there's something about a newborn baby that brings excitement and hope. There's something new, because see, with birth, we're celebrating the potential, aren't we? What is life going to bring? What does their future hold? There's a lot of potential there. Do you know when Jesus was born, they were still looking for something down the road. They were looking for and anticipating His kingship. They were anticipating what He would do, the deliverance that He would bring. And again, many of them thought that he would deliver them from the Roman government, but what they found out was that's not why Jesus came. I'd like us to consider for a moment, what if that would have been why he came? See, they were looking for a deliverer. Lord, are you going to deliver us from the power of Rome? If that would have been the reason Jesus came, where would things be today 2,000 years later? See, Rome was in power at the time Jesus was born, but it wasn't that long before they lost their power. See, kingdoms rise and fall. But Jesus came to bring a deliverance that would last. Deliverance from a political power might last for a generation. Maybe two, maybe three. But then things change. Jesus came to bring a deliverance of sin in this world. And it was because of love. And over in the book of Romans chapter 5 in the 8th verse. Says, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God commendeth his love. He showed us, he demonstrated his love. And that's how God showed us the love, was through the sacrifice of his son. He gave us the most precious thing that he had in Jesus coming to this world. And I just want to remind us, and it's a simple message this morning, but I want to remind you that Jesus loves you this morning. Have you ever told someone you love them and they got very uncomfortable? Said, I love you. It's like, thanks. Okay. I just want you to know this morning, if it makes you uncomfortable, I want you to quit running from it and embrace it this morning. Jesus loves you. Each and every one of you. You are loved. His love reaches you this morning. It's up to you what you do with it. But he loves you this morning. And I don't deserve it. When the Lord started giving me this message, all I could do is sit there and weep. It's like, Lord, I don't deserve your love. But it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. It wasn't because we were good enough. It wasn't because we earned it. It wasn't because we proved ourselves long enough. That wasn't why he loved us. He loved us when we were undeserving. And I'm still undeserving this morning. But his love reached me in my sinful state. His love reached me in my darkness. His love reached me in my stubbornness. And his love transformed my life. And I thank God for his love. That's why I love to tell the story of Jesus. It's not because of who you are this morning. It's because of who he is. And his love reaches out. And while we were yet sinners, so undeserving. See, Jesus walked this earth to understand where we were. But he was preparing for death. That's what he was doing. He was preparing for death. And it was the death of Jesus that was because of my sin. He died because of our sin this morning. Because he wanted to give us deliverance. And he was willing to suffer for you. And so if we continue in sin, we are making the sacrifice of Jesus Christ of none effect in our life. Because you don't have to. We don't have to continue in sin this morning. We don't have to keep living in sin this morning. And I have a question. If there's anyone here this morning that has sin in their life, I would like to ask you a question. Is it making you happy? Is it satisfying? Are you at peace with where you're at? You see, Jesus came when we didn't deserve it, and when we weren't happy, and we weren't at peace, and we were miserable, if we just be honest with ourselves. And he said, I love you. And he reached out his hand to lift us up in our undeserving state. That's why Jesus came. I don't want his death to be made of none effect in my life. I want to recognize that he died so I don't have to keep living in sin. He died and he loved me, and his love reached out to me in the place that I was in to make a radical transformation of my life. So when someone loves us, it's really up to us how we respond. We can give someone that loves us the cold shoulder. My wife came and said, Michael, I love you. I could turn my back on that. Say, I'm not interested. I could contemplate it, or I can embrace it. And said, I love you too. That is what begins relationship. Because see, unreturned love is incomplete love. The love of Jesus is reaching out to this world today. I was in the dentist's office last week, and I sat there, and there was a young man that was living a very different lifestyle than what I live, a very different lifestyle than what is morally correct and acceptable, and he was dressed in a way to communicate that lifestyle. And there was something in me when I first saw it. It was just, again, this has happened to me before. You know, when there's almost a disgust or almost, and immediately I was just reminded of the love of Jesus. Jesus' love is reaching out to that young man this morning, and he wants me to extend that love as well. His love reaches people that are living in sin. How can I turn my back on people that are doing vile things? Because if it weren't for the grace of God, where would you be this morning? Did any of us here deserve the love of God? I didn't. And I will say, even after I got saved and gave my heart to the Lord and started my journey with him, his love is still reaching me. His love has reached me when I've made mistakes. When I've had failures and I was disappointed in myself. You see, Jesus loved the world, and he loves his people too. We were undeserving when we were unsaved. Do you think then that his love stops once we get saved? No, his love is still reaching out to all of us today. And I can know that my Savior loves me, and it has reached me and kept me so many times in life. You see, the law came by Moses, the judgment. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to save. You see, it's easy for us sometimes, if we know truth and we have if we're not careful, we'll get on a little spiritual pedestal. And I'm thankful for what God has done. But when I look around me at people in this world, and it's despicable what they're doing, and it's just disgusting some of the things that they're doing, and the immorality and the sin and the heartache, these are people that need a rescuer. These are people that need a Savior. That's why Jesus came. How can I look down my nose at them? Because if it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be there too. And you could look at me and say, what is he doing? But for the grace of God. And so his love, he did not come to condemn, but he came to elevate. He came to rescue. He came to set us free. What are you going to do with the love of God this morning? What are you doing? It's reaching you. You may say, I don't want to hear, again, I'm going to say it again. I just walked down here and say, I want everybody to know Jesus loves you. If he just walked down through the aisles and said, I want you to know I love you. Jesus loves you. He loves you. So what are we going to do with it? Okay. And I go our way. I don't want to be unaffected by the love of God because I didn't deserve it. I'm unworthy this morning. And yet I look at the love that Jesus had, and his love reached out to this little man named Zacchaeus, who was a publican. His love reached out to a woman that was caught in adultery when others were condemning her. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you, but what? Go and sin no more. That was Christ's love reaching that lady. There were those that others in life, the Samaritan woman, that others would say, Jesus, that's not appropriate for you to be talking to this woman by yourself. Well, guess what? His love reached her. She had had five husbands, and Jesus' love reached her till she knew, truly, this is the Son of God. This man told me something I had never known before. What about Matthew the publican and Peter who fell the Lord? Did the love of Jesus stop then when Peter had failed? Oh no, go tell my disciples. That's another story that doesn't ever get old. Go tell my disciples and be sure to tell Peter that I'm risen from the dead. Why? Because he loved him. If you have failed the Lord this morning, it's not over. It's not over. Jesus loves you this morning. His love is reaching you. This is why he came, thank the Lord. His love reaches him. His love reached Thomas, who doubted. And his love even reached down to Judas. If Judas would have just fallen on his knees, he would have found forgiveness. But he turned his back on the love of Jesus. And this his love reached a man by the name of John Newton, who in the 18th century was a slave trader. His life was full of immorality and unclean and dirty and full of violence and corruption. And on that ship that day, the storm came in there in 1748. He was in a storm and it looked like that all was lost and that he would lose his life. And that dirty, immoral, degraded slave trader called on the name of God, and something reached out and touched him. And it was the love of God. Let's sing a verse, that first verse of Amazing Grace. He wasn't worthy. And yet, the love of Jesus reached out. He saved a wretch. Why was it? Because Jesus was born and died. And his love reaches us still today. I once was lost. I was blind. Aren't you thankful for that grace this morning? It is because the love of Jesus Christ is still reaching us today. If it reached a man like that, couldn't it reach a man like me? This is our hope for unsaved loved ones. We think they're too far gone. Oh no, they're not. Because there is a love that is reaching out through the generations. And that love has lost none of its power. There's still grace. There's still power in the blood of Jesus, and we don't deserve it. There's another song, and I kind of wish I could sing it. I thought about attempting it, but I won't. But I sang it as a child with my family, but it says, I found the love of Jesus waiting. When all my fondest hopes and dreams had died, when all that earth could offer failed me, I found him waiting at my side. So I don't deserve his love this morning. But the Lord hath appeared to me of old, saying, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And so as we close this service this morning, I would ask us again, what are we going to do with this wonderful love that Jesus is extending to us this morning? See, it's reaching us. And as we go back to our homes,
as we go back to life, there is a love that is reaching out for you, that we don't have to stay miserable. We don't have to stay in the place that we're in, but we can respond and turn to that love, and it will begin to transform. This will transform your life. It will transform your relationships with other people. It will transform so much, and you will find life instead of death. So we can run, or we can turn, and we can embrace it. But as I sit down, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, that your love still reaches me this morning and reaches all of us when we were and are so undeserving of it. I am so thankful for the love of Jesus Christ that is reaching us still today. May God bless you in Jesus' name.